to make do with what we've got. So often this week, I've thought, I don't know what to do. I'm sure you may have thought that as well in your situations. What do we do? What do we do? Well, let me read some verses from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. God's people, faced with a huge army, assailed against them. Pray, and this is what they pray. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a verse that has been going around in my head quite a lot this week. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon the Lord. That's why we're gathering together. That's why we're recording this service, so that our eyes can be upon the Lord Jesus. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon him. And we're going to sing some songs in a moment. You can join in at home. Before we do that, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that wherever we are, we still can gather together as your people at St. Simon's. Father, through this time, we're watching it now, wherever we are, I pray that our eyes would be upon you. Please give us confidence. Please help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing two songs. First song, How Deep the Father's Love. Second song, The Lord is My Shepherd. Songs that remind us of God's care for us at this time. So we're going to sing. Join in if you want at home.
Give an answer, but this I know. My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil. On his pure delight,
and I will trust,
I will trust, I will trust in you.
And I will trust,
I will trust, I will trust in you.
For your
endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. The darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know.
And I will trust,
I will trust, I will trust in you.
And I will trust,
I will trust, I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
And I will trust,
and I will trust,
I will trust, I will trust in you.
And I will trust,
I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
It's wonderful to be reminded of God's care for us at this time. I'm just going to share some ways in which we as a church are seeking to care for one another now at this time. Hopefully you found ways to stay connected with some of the things that are going on at St. Simon's. We're sending out an email update. If you are not on that and you want to be, please get in touch, let us know through the Facebook page, through emailing in. On our website, there is a section called Church Continues. We're going to be updating that in the coming days, in the coming weeks, with lots of resources, really, that can help you to keep on following Christ and walking with Christ over the coming weeks and months. You'll find regular updates there about church life. And we're hoping that one of the big ways that people are going to stay connected is through our Bible study groups, through our Connect groups. This week, I'm going to hopefully join everybody into a Connect group. I realize that lots of people are in Connect groups, but lots of people aren't. So if you're not, hopefully we're going to link you up to a Connect group. And that means that you can be prayed for. You've got a group that you can go to ask for support, whether that be in prayer or whether that be practical support. So look out for that. And we're also conscious as well that many people give through the plates or through the yellow envelope scheme. Obviously, we can't do that physically at the moment. So can I encourage you, if that is the way that you give to the work of St. Simon's and to the gospel work here, can you sign up to the parish giving scheme? Now, to do that, you need a form. You need a physical form that you need to fill in and send off. And so if you are on that yellow envelope giving scheme at the moment, we'll drop through your door a parish giving scheme form. And then you can just send that in, set up a direct debit, and you'll be able to continue to give to the work of St. Simon's and everything that's going on here. There are ways as well which we're going to be caring for our community. More of that in the email updates. I don't want to overload you with things now. I do want to say, if there are children out there, I do want to say a quick shout out to all the children. We were hoping to have a family focus this morning, but as I say, we've needed to cut things down. So children, I just want to say hello to Nora, to Abigail, to Ethan, to Freddie and Leah, to Gabe and Seb, to Freya, Anya, Lewis, Fraser, Sophie, Micah, Josh, to Sammy, to Max, to Nero and Tommy, to Cameron and Olivia, to Aaron and Simon, to Emma, and finally to Sarah and Serena. If you're watching at home, it's great to have you with us. Your parents have hopefully been given some children's work that you'd normally be doing together. Why not do that with your mum and dad, whoever's at home today? Why not Zoom or WhatsApp another family as well while you do that? It'd be great to keep on for you guys to keep on meeting together as well. Well, look, I'm going to give you a chance to pray now. This is recorded, so let me just give some ways in which you could be praying. And then I want to encourage you to pause the video and at home to maybe pray about one or two of those things. So things you could be praying for as you gather together at home. You could be praying for our community, those that aren't in the St. Simon's Church family but are known to us, those that are going to be self-isolating or in need of help, those that are going to be facing job uncertainty. It'd be wonderful to pray for those. We pray for our St. Simon's Church community, that we carry on encouraging one another, meeting together as far as we can, over the phone, emails, that we stay in contact, that we seek to encourage one another daily in our walks with the Lord. Pray not just for ourselves, but pray for our mission partners as well. If there's a particular mission partner that is on your heart, why don't you pray for them? If not, pray for Helen Sheridan, working in Ireland, or Wellfield Church up in Leyland. Pray that they know how to keep on sharing Christ and ministering his word at this time, and that God would work to bring more people through them into his kingdom. So there's some things you could be praying for. Why don't you pause the video? Why don't you pray either together or on your own? And then we'll come back together and I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Well, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're going to turn now to God's word. If you've got a Bible with you at home, could you turn to the last book of the Bible, to Revelation, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 to 18 together. It says verses 12 to 18, but we're going to read 9 to 18. And Linda's here, so Linda's going to come and read God's word for us. Thanks, Linda.
I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write it on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Linda. Hopefully, if you've got a Bible in front of you, you can keep that open. As we turn to God's word, let me pray. Father, we thank you that we can still gather together around your word. Please, in our different situations, in our different settings, would you speak to us now and in the coming days through your word. Father, we're dependent upon your Spirit. Please, would your Spirit be at work in our lives. Give us eyes of faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's make no bones about this. This is crazy, isn't it? This is a crazy, strange, scary time. We're faced with a global pandemic that shows no sign of slowing, only increasing. Yesterday, we heard about the horrifying picture in Italy of almost 500 who had died there in 24 hours from COVID-19. We've heard a prime minister warning that the UK is only 2 weeks behind Italy. We've heard experts like Sir Patrick Vallance saying that if the death toll in the UK stays below 20,000, that would be a very good outcome. Now, I don't want to scaremonger. For many, the virus will be mild, but for some it won't be. And it's the knock-on effects that we're feeling as well, isn't it? Schools now closed indefinitely. An economy suddenly on its knees. Numerous people this week who are either out of work temporarily or permanently. Many others fearing that they're about to be laid off. Then, of course, there's the impact on us as a church family, watching over the internet, virtual church. Look, again, there's going to be opportunities. And hopefully we'll speak of them more in the coming weeks as we return to Colossians. But nothing about this situation feels right or normal. And how do we feel when we're faced with this situation? This global pandemic and wall-to-wall news coverage? Well, isn't the prevailing attitude one of fear? Fear at the uncertainty about what the coming weeks and months will bring. A fear that we're no longer in control. Fear in the face of our own mortality. Now, as Christians, those who trust and love Jesus, we want to react differently. To be people who, when we feel that fear rising within us, we don't give in to it. But how do we do that? How do we get to that settled trust in the midst of a world in chaos? Well, it's why we're going to look at these verses from Revelation 1. And especially why I want us to focus on verses 17 and 18. Revelation is written to a people who are afraid, a people experiencing suffering, not because of a pandemic, but because of persecution. And just have a look back in verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John, who this vision is given to, is in prison, facing prison because of his testimony about Jesus. And the church that he's writing to are facing a similar fate. And so Jesus gives this vision to John and to those churches, a vision of who Jesus really is. Not the storybook Jesus, not the Jesus of the manger, not even the Jesus of the cross, but the Jesus who is risen and reigning in heaven. Glorious and majestic. And no wonder that when John sees this vision of Jesus, he falls at Jesus' feet as though dead. You see, it's by lifting our eyes to see this Jesus and to hear his voice that we'll have confidence in the face of uncertainty and in the face of suffering and even death. So Jesus, this morning, with a gentle touch, that gentle touch that John received, says to us this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. First of all, because Jesus is the Lord of history. Jesus is the Lord of history. Have a look at verse 17. When I, John, saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Jesus is saying he's the first and the last. Jesus was there at the beginning of time, and he will be there at the end of time. Over all the years of human history, Jesus has been the king on the throne. He knows the end from the beginning. He is in complete control of all things, and he knows how this pandemic ends. He knows how history ends. History ends with Jesus himself. Some of the last words in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Jesus says this, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus this morning wants us to know that he is in control. He is the Lord of history. You know, we're surprised by this pandemic. We're scrabbling around, trying to make church services work and trying to look after one another when we can't physically meet. We're scrabbling around trying to get enough loo roll in the house or whatever it is that you want to stock up on. But Jesus is not surprised because he is in control and he is sovereign. He is the Lord of history. And you see what a comfort that is. That the world isn't out of Jesus' control. But of course, that undoubtedly raises the question, look, if Jesus really is the Lord of history, why has he allowed this pandemic? And in one sense, that question is no different to any other question about suffering. Why did God allow the world wars or allow hurricanes or earthquakes? It's just that we're in the middle of it at the moment. Let me just as an aside briefly say three things to that, if that is your question. First of all, God created a world without suffering. Suffering is a result of sin and humanity's rebellion against God, a result of the fall. So way back in creation, at the start of the Bible, Genesis 1, God creates a perfect world, and we're told it was very good, and there was no suffering, and there was no sickness. And then humanity in Adam and Eve reject God. Sin enters the world at that point, and in Genesis 3, the whole of creation is thrown out of kilter. Sin, suffering, sickness, disease, death enter the world at that point. So God created a world without suffering. The world is not meant to be this way. Second, God cares about the suffering of the world and of his people. He's not indifferent. He cares so much about the suffering of the world that Jesus, the eternal Son, steps into the world to suffer and die in his human nature. So that one day, Christians, you and I, if we're trusting in Jesus, can be in a world without suffering. Those words from Revelation 21, where God will wipe away every tear from our eye, and where there'll be no more sickness or pain or mourning or death. God cares about suffering so much that Jesus steps into the world to provide a world without suffering one day. And third, God uses suffering for good. Of course, our ultimate good is that we come to know him and that future world without suffering and pain. Jesus tells us in Luke 13 that suffering is one of the means that God uses to flag up that we are out of relationship with him, that we need to repent, to turn back, to turn back and be forgiven. And think of the ways that God might use this pandemic for good. As people are suddenly faced with needing a hope in the face of death, a hope that Jesus offers, or a church that is forced to isolate and all it can do is pray and depend upon God. A church that suddenly is reaching more people as services are streamed online or recorded, as the message of Jesus goes out to a wider audience. Look, they're just three brief thoughts on why God would allow suffering and the pandemic. There's much more to say. I'll try and point you to some resources online in the coming weeks. But back to Revelation, Jesus is the Lord of history. He is in control. He knows how this ends. He knows how history ends. It ends with him in victory. Look, at the moment, life feels like we're watching a film or a TV series, one where you jump at every new surprise. You gasp at every plot twist. You're sitting there thinking, this can't be real. And you want the characters to survive. Will they? You want to skip ahead and you find out what happens and find out that everything turns out okay. Except this is real. This is not a series that we can binge watch and find out what happens next. It's slowly playing out in front of us on our news live feeds, on the TV screens. And the characters we want to survive are ourselves and our family. We can't skip to the end. We can't instantly watch the next episode, read a spoiler. Lots of people have said to me this week that it's the not knowing that they find scary, the uncertainty. We don't know what is going to happen in the weeks and months to come, but Jesus does. He is the Lord of history. He is good, and he is in control, so don't be afraid. We're to trust him. He is the first and the last, the Lord of history. And he knows how this ends, even if we don't. And he knows how history ends, with him reigning in glory. So trust him. Don't be afraid, Jesus is the Lord of history. And don't be afraid because he's also the Lord of today. Not just of the future and the past, but today. Have a look at verse 18 again. Jesus says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. I am the living one. Jesus is the living one. He is utterly unique. For everyone else, death, well, it's the great leveler, but not for Jesus. He was dead, but now he's alive. The grave could not hold him. Death could not overcome him. Having died on that first Good Friday, he gloriously rose to life on Easter morning. And he is the living one now, reigning in heaven, never to die again. And so he's the Lord of today. He's the Lord of the present, right now. He's the Lord of every hour, every minute, every moment. You see, we can not only trust him with the future, but we can trust him with today. Because he lives and he reigns on the throne of heaven. There's a clip going around on Twitter of Billy Graham, the famous American evangelist. And he's speaking about how Jesus does indeed reign. And because of that, he says these words. Those of us who know him put our trust in him and him alone. He says, I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the UN. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put my trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it falls and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there. And friends, as the world seems to fall and crumble and shatter around us, Jesus is still there. He's the Lord of today, the living one. So this, right now, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to trust Jesus as the Lord of today in a fuller and richer sense than we've ever done before. Of course, we've trusted Jesus for our salvation. But I guess life for many of us, not all, but for many of us, has been fairly comfortable. Certainly compared to many in the world. You know, why pray for our daily bread when the supermarket shelves are always full? Or the doctors are always available? Or we can always go and do as we please? But suddenly, we are faced with the need to depend hourly, daily, minute by minute on Jesus. And that's good for us. He is the living one who reigns in heaven. So let Jesus be the one that you turn to and ask for help. When you're anxious, when you're scared, when you're frustrated and feel alone, when you're fed up, when you feel like life is crumbling and falling, turn to Jesus. He is the living one. Don't turn to Netflix or escapism or fantasy or giving in or drink or pornography. Apparently, pornography usage is skyrocketing as people self-isolate and seek to find comfort. Turn to Jesus. He's on the throne. He's the living one. He'll see you through. So don't be afraid. Jesus is the Lord of history. He's the Lord of today. And then finally, he's the Lord of death. Verse 18 again. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. I hold the keys of death and Hades. You see, Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, he has unlocked death. He holds the keys to death. Each one of us is born into a room that is locked. And that room is death. We are born as people who, by nature, hate God. We fail to love him and we fail to love others. We are locked into death. And when we die physically, we are people who will face a second death, an eternity separated from God in hell, Hades. Death is a dark, black room with no hope. But for the Christian, the key has turned in the door. And that key is cross-shaped. As Jesus died on the cross, he willingly faced the Father's settled anger at our sin. He paid for it fully. The key turned in the door of death. On Good Friday, the lock clicked open. And then Easter morning, the door burst open as Jesus rose from the dead. Light has streamed in to that dark room of death for the Christian. And that our physical death now is simply a doorway. It is simply a walking through an open door into an eternity beyond our wildest imaginings. Let me read some words from C.S. Lewis, how he puts it at the end of his Chronicle of Narnia books, a book that I'm just going to go and get. This is how C.S. Lewis describes the eternity we will walk through, walking through that open door of death. Jesus, that's Aslan, is speaking to the children right at the end of the last book of his Chronicles of Narnia series, The Last Battle. And C.S. Lewis writes, and as Aslan spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has ever read and which goes on forever, and in which every chapter is better than the one before. That is what Christians walk through into. Because Jesus is the Lord of death, for the Christian, they are simply walking through an open door into the beginning of the real story. A story where every chapter with Jesus is better than the last. Jesus is the Lord of death. He holds the keys to death in his hand. The door is open. This pandemic has brought us face to face with our own mortality in a way in which nothing else has in recent memory. And let's be honest, if our experience is anything like the Italian or Iranian or Spanish experience, it will do so to an even greater degree in the coming weeks and months. But in the face of death, you and I can be confident. Death holds no fear for the Christian. Simply walking through an unlocked door into eternity with Christ. Doesn't mean that we don't hate what death brings in this life. Doesn't mean that we don't hate to see the passing and suffering of others. It doesn't mean that we don't grieve a rising death toll. But in the face of your own death, you don't need to fear, because Jesus is the Lord of death. Whether you and I die from COVID-19, a road accident, or at a good old age, we can face death with confidence. And look, I'll be honest, every time I hear a rising death count, a shot of fear goes through me. Some of you are going to be a lot more scared than myself. But every time you hear that death toll in the coming weeks and months, use it as an opportunity to remind yourself that Jesus holds the keys to death, your death, if you're trusting in him. Use it as an opportunity for confidence, not fear. And look, if you're sitting at home and you've never had that confidence, you've never experienced that confidence in the face of death, can I say now's the time? What are you waiting for? Simply ask. Admit your sin. Ask for forgiveness from Jesus. Ask for strength to turn from sin. Ask for confidence in the face of death. And he'll give it, because he always does. Do not be afraid, says Jesus. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank and we praise you for who you are. We thank you that you are our sovereign Lord, who is in complete control, the one in whom we can find comfort and hope, the one whom is alive, who we can trust with today, for the future, and even in the face of death. Help us to be those people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to finish by singing a song that reminds us of our great confidence that we have in Jesus. He will hold me fast. Join in at home if you want.
Fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold. Thank you.
those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, but by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, his glory will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. Will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been great to gather together, at least with the band here. To sing together and to listen to God's word. But I hope that you are encouraged at home. Take this opportunity today to ring those people you might normally see as you come together on a Sunday morning, and maybe those particularly in your Connect group or those that you'd be talking to over coffee at church. Give them a call, say hi, and maybe share a way in which you've been encouraged from either this morning or from the way in which God's grace has been at work in your life throughout the week. But I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ways in which we can still encourage one another. Thank you that we all have your word in our hands. Please help us to know that you hold us fast. Help us to find that rest and that security in Jesus. Help us this week to know that he is the one who is alive and reigns forever and ever. Help us to look to him, we pray. Amen. Thank you once again. Join us again next week. We're going to see what we can do next week. This has been a bit of a trial, a bit of an experiment, but we'll let you know how next week's looking, and keep in touch. Take care and God bless.